This is Chris Halfice Planet from the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, and you're listening to our good friends Jason and Carl from the Wampus Lair Podcast.
Welcome to the Wampus Lair Podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble here in the Wampa's Lair.
Greetings, listeners, and welcome back to the Wampa's Lair podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, as always, is the R2-D2 to my C-3PO human cyborg relations. We have Mr. Carl LeClaire.
Hey, Jason, how are we tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Fantastic. I'm really excited about this episode.
I am, too. We have the most guests we've ever had in one sitting, too, so it's so exciting.
Yes, we have two guests. So we have, first of all, from the StarWarsReport.com, we have Mr. Riley Blanton. Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast.
Hello. It's an absolute pleasure to finally get on an episode with you guys. I'm super excited to be here tonight. And let me just tell you, killing Bothan since mid-2010. So... And so we've been up to.
If I could quickly just give a comparison, as Jason so often does, if, you know, I am the R2 to his C-3PO, Riley would be the Luke Skywalker to us, for he is certainly our master.
I must not, because we keep having all those dozens of schedule conflicts of trying to get on, and I kept hearing all this great content you guys have been putting out on StarWarsReport.com and enjoying each episode and saying, you know, talking at my iPod each time. So I'm glad to actually be in on the conversation with this episode.
Well, we awesome. Are honored to have you.
Yes, but we do not want to forget our other guest. He is a good friend of mine, and he writes up all the recaps and reviews that are read on the Frontlines, the Clone Wars podcast. We have Kyle Avery. Welcome to the show.
Why, thank you. Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going fantastic. I guess I should probably tell everybody who's listening what this episode is about. This is episode 11 of the Wampa's Lair podcast. I've titled it Endlessly Compelling, our top 7 Star Wars soundtrack moments. So we are going to be going through all of our fantastic lists of our favorite Star Wars soundtrack moments, and I'm super excited about this. But first, I believe we have something beforehand, Carl.
We do. You might just want to give me a little bit of a heads up as to what.
sorry. We usually have...
Yes,
we have our lightsaber matchup, and I believe you also wanted to...
Yes, our announcement. There we go. That's what you're implying, isn't it?
Yes, our announcement.
Yes.
That's one.
The very first official Wampa's Lair giveaway. Last episode, during our Phantom Menace episode, we asked a question and encouraged people to answer in order to win a 12-inch Revenge of the Sith line General Grievous action figure / doll, depending on what word choice you want to use. We did get two responses. And Jesse Arellano, excuse me if I butchered your last name, buddy. But Ariano, wow. Well, there you go. All we need is Jason. But Jesse was the first one to respond with the correct answer. And, of course, the question was, what three roles, minor roles, did Warwick Davis play in Episode 1, The Phantom Menace? And, Jason, would you mind enlightening those who did not know, including myself, what the answer was?
Yeah, that you got me stumped.
Well, upon asking the question and getting the response, I found out I was missing a role. So apparently there's four.
Really?
Apparently. Huh. Warwick Davis played Anakin's friend, Wald, the little chunky Rodian. He played one of the spectators in Watto's pod race box. He was a Mos Espa vendor, apparently. That was the one I did not know. And then he was a Yoda stand-in, and you can actually see him in the film as Yoda walking down the landing ramp from the Republic cruiser that landed in Naboo. I went and saw the Phantom Menace again last night, and I noticed that, and he's definitely got the Warwick Davis walk as he's coming down the ramp in the background.
Oh. So,
there are four roles that he plays, and Jesse got all of them correct and enlightened me onto one of them. So congratulations, Jesse, and Carl will be getting in touch with you about addresses so we can send that.
Indeed, and we're very excited about that first giveaway. That will not be our last giveaway. It is, however, our first, but it will not be the last. So certainly stay tuned for more of that funness in the future.
Exactly. Exactly.
But without further ado, we did have a lightsaber matchup this past week, and we not only do we have the most guests we've ever had tonight on the Wampa's Lair, but we also have the most responses we've ever had for our a lightsaber matchup between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda. So, Jason, would you take it away and, you know, read those responses for us?
Sure, fantastic. On Facebook, we got responses from quite a few people. Jessica Sinewiki, I apologize if I butchered that, and I believe I did.
That's my cousin's fiance, and I don't even know how to say her last name.
Wow. Okay, well, she says, if it's episode one, then definitely Yoda. Then we have Christine Buttons Manning. She says Yoda, unless we're talking Return of the Jedi, because he's probably too frail at that point. In his own words, sick have I become, old and weak. But in any other movie, he'd win for sure. Dorothy
Petrolatti,
thanks.
That's
thank you.
My old roommate's girlfriend.
Wow, you know a lot of these people.
Well, yeah.
She says Max Rebo would win in a lightsaber matchup between Obi-Wan and Yoda. So,
since when is Max Rebo the Chuck Norris of Star Wars?
I don't know. I don't know.
Max Rebo could know.
We also got a response from Pete Searing again. He says, dear, oh dear, this is a hard one. Yoda or Obi? In the films, only Obi has defeated a Sith Lord, Maul, and he did defeat Anakin, but failed to finish him off due to his emotions. Yoda managed to fight Dooku to a standstill while Obi-Wan was defeated by him. I think Obi has more fighting ability, but Yoda has more skills and experience. I think I would have to say they would end in a draw. And Jesse agrees with that. Jesse Ariano, who won our contest, says a total draw. And Brian V. Klein, who has been a frequent contributor to these contests, says this should be a no-brainer, since in the course of Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, Dooku knocked Obi-Wan out of the battle early in both fights, and Yoda and Dooku ended in a draw. But I think that had more to do with the fact they were both fighting a Sith, and Yoda had more knowledge of the dark side. Now, Obi-Wan beat Maul at the end of The Phantom Menace, but his emotions were riding high, and also Maul is limited in his Sith fighting skills. But I think Yoda would still end up victorious, since he has a lot more experience in all aspects of the Force. I hate to root against Obi-Wan, but thankfully this fight would never happen. So it appears we have 3 for Yoda, 2 draws, and 1 for Max Rebo so far. And we've got 2 more responses to read
on
Twitter.
Forgot to tell Dorothy that there's no write-in ballots on this vote, but that's okay.
On Twitter, Leon355 says, I think you have to give this one to the bouncing green Master Jedi. So, Yoda. And then we had a response from Lord Bruticus via email. He says, Yoda versus Kenobi? I have to choose between which 2 pieces of light-sided slime I'd like better to win a fight. This taxes my keen dark side intellect, but my vision isn't so clouded that I can't see where this is going. You have Sith envy. That's it. There can be no other explanation. Leaving the Sith out of this duel is a clear indication that you are jealous of them. Alas, Yoda would win. Why? Because after his many years of training Dooku, then Qui-Gon, fighting the apprentice of his apprentice's apprentice would drive him raving mad. Yoda would fall to the dark side out of sheer frustration that the Jedi can no longer teach effectively, and he would give Obi a sizzling cauterized run-through about how things are done. Yoda did it.
Let me just say this. It sounds like Lord Bruticus has considered this question before. This is pretty detailed.
I think so. He says Yoda would give Obi a sizzling, cauterized run-through about how things are done. Yoda did it to a clone. Okay, more than one clone, alongside Obi-Wan, and he'd do it to Obi-Wan, too. Why? Because he's dark side Yoda. Enough said. And I don't think I could ever match Lord Bruticus in the way he words his dark side thinking. It's just phenomenally hysterical and, yeah. But anyways, so we've got, what is that? 5 for Yoda, 2 draws, and 1 for Max Rebo. But I want to hear what you guys think here. What are we going to do on this lightsaber battle? Riley, who would you pick?
I would definitely pick Yoda, because I think in this unfortunate match, you just have to reference the scenes of Yoda at his height of power. And I'm referencing the films only at this point, but Yoda at the height of his power was in the duel that, albeit that he lost, or at least retreated from in Revenge of the Sith, but still, if you saw him and the Emperor go at it in that chamber, that's my favorite duel in Star Wars overall. And even though there's not a whole lot of lightsaber fighting to do with it, it is kind of the ultimate clash of good and evil. And I think Yoda really represents the epitome of thousands of years of the Jedi Order, and that kind of weight behind him, I think, is much more substantial than Luke Skywalker, who really is more of a rebel figure. And that's not a bad thing, but when it comes to the duel, I kind of think of Yoda and... I'm sorry, not Luke Skywalker, Obi-Wan. Excuse me. Wow. But yeah, if looking at Obi-Wan versus Yoda, I really feel like Yoda has the weight of the Jedi Order behind him. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think so. So, 7 for Yoda, 2 draws, and 1 Max Rebo.
Yeah. Well, Kyle, and for the record, Yoda would also win against Luke Skywalker.
Okay.
All right. Kyle, are you going to get Obi-Wan on the board, or have Max Rebo move up?
No, I think I'm going to have to tack one more in the Yoda column. For me, it wasn't so much of Yoda by far. It was, I thought a long time about this, and it was kind of, by a narrower margin, I would say Yoda would win. But because to me, it came down to, I think they're probably pretty evenly matched as far as sword fighting skills, just that alone. But then you compare their skill in the Force, which obviously is going to augment a Jedi's fighting skills a lot. And I think Yoda's a lot more powerful in the Force. And I wasn't necessarily thinking about Yoda's duel with Dooku, but I was thinking, his fight with Palpatine, when Palpatine shoots the lightning at him and Yoda absorbs it and shoots it back, as opposed to earlier in that same film, Dooku's able to just use the Force to pick up Obi-Wan and chuck him across the room. So, that was pretty much how I figured it. I thought they'd be pretty evenly matched in, just pure physical fighting skills, but then Yoda's going to have a lot more of an advantage from having the more skill in the Force, I think.
All right. Carl.
Yeah. Oh, boy. To me, there wasn't too much to debate with this one. I think it would handedly go to Yoda. And I hate saying that because I love Obi-Wan. I love Obi-Wan Kenobi with a passion. I think certainly if it's episode 1 Obi-Wan, he's definitely done. But I think we see, Obi-Wan has become very, very, very powerful by the end of episode 3. However, I just think Yoda, again, his particular fighting style would just be too much. It would overwhelm Obi-Wan's defense. I mean, if we think about it, the best opponent Obi-Wan defeated was, Darth Vader in episode 3. And Darth Vader is certainly powerful, but he's overly emotional. So Obi-Wan was able to use his, his defensive form. I think it's form 2, isn't that right?
3.
Form 3, that's right. And what's it called again? Is that Sarisu?
Sarisu,
yeah. And, he could use that to his advantage against somebody like Anakin, but I think Yoda would just pick it apart pretty easily. I think hands down, it's got to go to Yoda. But what about you, Jason? Where's your camp?
Oh, goodness. This was a really difficult duel for me to figure out, because obviously Yoda has so much more experience and has so much more reserves as far as the Force is concerned. But Obi-Wan is just very skilled, and he's very smart and able to outthink a lot of his opponents. And actually, I think Obi-Wan's Form 3 would hold up against Yoda's Form 4. And this is my reasoning for that. I believe it is the Revenge of the Sith novel, but Mace Windu is talking to Obi-Wan about why they picked him to go fight Grievous. And Mace says, well...
That point. I love that.
I use Form 7 because of my tendency and weakness towards the dark side. Yoda uses Form 4 because of his height disadvantage. You use Form 3 and have mastered it to such a degree that no one else can get better at it than you can. So, that's my paraphrasing of that. And so, for that reason, that made it really, really close. And Obi-Wan may not be as powerful in the Force as Yoda, but he is probably more crafty with the Force than Yoda is. So I would have to call this one a draw as well. I almost said Obi-Wan, but I think at the end of the day, they would sit down and negotiate a peace treaty. but no, I'm going to have to call it a draw as well. So we have, 8-9 for Yoda, 3 draws and one.
I was told there would be no math.
Oh, yes, all your on-air math, quick math problems that you have.
Oh, I've done it many times.
Yes. So, but it appears Yoda wins with 3 draws and 1 vote for Max Rebo. I don't know why he's in there, but...
Okay. That's sad. Obi-Wan didn't just get beat by Yoda. He also got beaten by Max Rebo in a vote that didn't even include Max Rebo.
Poor Obi-Wan.
Yes.
All right. Well, we have another matchup for everybody, but you'll have to wait till the end of the episode in order to find out what that is. And our guests don't even know what it is yet.
No, we don't. And now I'm anxious to know.
It's a good one. Right. It's a very, 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 very good one.
Yes, one I don't think most people would think about. But anyways, before we get to that, we do have a topic to throw in here for some reason. We have our top 7 Star Wars soundtrack moments, and we allowed everybody up to 3 honorable mentions simply because this topic is so difficult to narrow down. For example, my short list had 21 tracks on it, and... Yeah, so that was a lot of fun trying to narrow it down to less than half of that. I think we will go ahead and get started with this without any further ado. And how do we want to go with this order, Carl?
Yeah, I think, I'll start, and then we'll let Kyle chime in and Riley, and then we'll end with you, Mr. Jason.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah. So I thought this was funny. I was talking very briefly on the phone last night with Chris Hoth, Ice Planet Smith, just asking him some questions about a few things. And he asked me why we were doing a top 7. And I was like, well, we've done a couple top 5s. Lots of people have done top 5s. And frankly, we needed to have at least one song from each film. So we're like, all right, we'll do a top 7. Like Jason said, it was kind of difficult to narrow it down. So... very briefly, I'm just going to mention, I have 3 honorable mentions. I know, I'm such a little cheater. I might as well have made it a top 10. But I'm just going to mention these very quickly. My first one is this. It's a song off of the Revenge of the Sith soundtrack called Padme's Reminiscences. It's the scene in Episode 3 where Anakin is in the High Council Chamber waiting for Mace Windu to go confront Palpatine. And then Padme's over in the Senate apartments. And they're both just, like, looking across the cityscape at one another. I mean, probably not literally at one another, but in each other's directions. And there's this really beautiful song in the background that I really like. It's very emotional. They briefly use the love theme very beautifully in it. So that's all I'll say about that. I won't say much about these. So that's my one honorable mention. My other one is which I'm sure will shock some people that it's only an honorable mention, is Duel of the Fates. love Duel of the Fates. It does not make it into my top seven, however, which I know is crazy. Obviously, I love that song. I won't say much about it, as I'm sure it'll come up a little bit later. And my last honorable mention, which was really hard keeping out of my top seven, though, is actually the Victory Celebration song from Return of the Jedi, the one that was used in light of the special edition. I noticed Brian Klein wrote about how he loved the original Yub Nub song. I enjoyed it, but I think that was one of my favorite changes in the special editions, was the Victory Celebration song at the end, because I think it's much more epic, and it ties up the films much better. So those are my honorable mentions.
Very nice. So, very nicely done.
Kyle, if we were running track, what would happen right now is I would pass you the torch.
All right. Well, it's funny. You mentioned the ending song from Return of the Jedi, the special edition. That was one that was really hard for me to leave off of my list, because I love that one. But for my three honorable mentions, and I have a couple in here that, kind of like you said, with Duel of the Fates, are probably, you know, might be a shock that this isn't in my top seven. But my first one is the Emperor's theme from Return of the Jedi. I see Emperor's Throne Room would be a track on the soundtrack that kind of is an example of that. Just because I love how it's kind of like dark and sinister. And I think just goes with that character really well, and kind of is almost like a good complement to the Imperial March, because you have like the big epic Empire theme, and then you have the darker, more sinister theme for the guy who's secretly masterminding the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So that's my first one. My second one would be Yoda's theme from Empire Strikes Back. And part of the reason that's on my honorable mentions is a lot of the ones in my top seven are kind of more, kind of go with moments from the film that I have like an emotional connection with. And so Yoda's theme is more just sort of related to the character, but I still like that theme a lot, and I think it goes really well with the character of Yoda. And then my third honorable mention, again, one that was kind of hard to leave out of my top seven, but it would be the Imperial March. And again, just because that's one of those ones that, you know, just listening to it on its own maybe doesn't quite have quite the emotional impact for me that some of the other ones do. But when you watch it like in the film, or even if you hear it in a commercial for a Volkswagen, or, you know, you hear it at a sports game or something, it's just always cool to hear that. And, you know, just the association with Darth Vader and the Empire, and just kind of this big, epic, you know, imposing image, I guess you would say. So, you know, that's always a great one. It didn't quite make my top seven, but I had to give it an honorable mention.
Sure thing.
Yeah.
Riley.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and do my disclaimer now, and that is, a few minutes before the show started, when I was putting together my list, I wanted to do something a little different and kind of reframe it to where some of my favorite musical moments and tracks in the Star Wars saga, but that I think are underappreciated, that people that aren't quite as obvious. I noticed it's kind of already been a theme where you guys have left out some of the obvious ones in your out of your top seven, and you just did that as honorable mentions. So for my honorable mentions, I'm just going to do one thing, and that's the Clone Wars soundtrack, the Clone Wars movie soundtrack. That it does technically fall into a Star Wars movie soundtrack. Definitely not on par with any of John Williams' stuff, but still some really great music by Kevin Kiner. And I wish that they would do season soundtracks to the Clone Wars, even if it were a limited release. I mean, it doesn't cost them to do anything, any kind of digital release. So if I could just buy it on iTunes or Amazon. If you're listening to me, Sony Records, or whoever owns the label. But that's what I want to see. So that's my honorable mention. And if I were going to pull out tracks, you should listen to I Love the New and Redone Star Wars Main Title that Kevin Kiner has done for the Clone Wars. We see that each week. Track 3 is the Battle of Christophsis, which is a great one as well. And then another favorite of mine is a really short track, and it's the Seedy City Swing.
That is a fun track.
Yes. I miss Zero the Hutt. so this is my honorable mentions.
And I second that request for a soundtrack.
I third that request.
I'm kidding.
Put it on the house floor.
Yes.
Put it on the house floor. Have that motion seconded. I just spent the past couple days in the state capitol watching the state legislators, and now I kept thinking the whole time I was meeting with different state representatives in Tennessee for civil patrol, and I just kept thinking, there's a Star Wars connection, by the way. I just kept thinking to myself, I am not a committee.
Although I did get to go to a subcommittee hearing, so that was fun.
Nice. Nice. Yeah,
and I'm glad you mentioned the Clone Wars, because even when Jason first asked me to be on the show and do this list, I thought of, like, ooh, I'll, you know, try to do something cool, and, like, I'll put Clone Wars on my list, or maybe some tracks from, like, some of the video games that have really cool music, too. And then you go through the soundtracks for the films, and it's like, man, I can't even pick seven of these. Like, Clone Wars isn't going to fit on my list, but, yeah, there's some great music in there, too.
Yeah. Indeed. Indeed. Well, I guess I'll go ahead and throw my honorable mentions out there. First one I've got is the Anakin versus Obi-Wan from Revenge of the Sith. This is when they start fighting on Mustafar, and I picked this one instead of Battle of the Heroes because this has parts of Battle of the Heroes in it. So that was the only reason why Battle of the Heroes didn't make my honorable mentions. But Anakin versus Obi-Wan. Then I have the Dune Sea of Tatooine and the Jawa Sandcrawler from A New Hope. I've always liked that piece of music. It's always just sort of a fun little quirky piece of music, and you always think of Jawas when you hear it. I was actually out eating lunch while I was working on this list and playing that song on my iPod while I was writing it down. And I looked up and I was just people watching to that piece of music. And it's really funny to just watch people while listening to that piece of music. You should try it sometime. and then my final honorable mention is the Parade of the Ewoks from Return of the Jedi. I go hiking. Well, I used to go hiking a lot, and I wish I had time to do that. But one time I was out hiking, and I brought my iPod, and that track came on, and it's just the best music for hiking in the middle of nature. So if you go hiking, take your iPod and play that while you're hiking, and it'll just feel more epic and adventurous. So take that as you will. Those are my three honorable mentions, so...
Awesome. Great. Yeah, those are all good ones. And I know I've left off quite a bit from mine that, I mean, it's so hard to even, you could do a top 10 and still have another 15 songs you want to mention. And there's just so many good songs on this Star Wars soundtrack. So it makes it very difficult.
Yeah, definitely.
So
indeed.
But I believe now it's time to hop into our top seven. I will start and we'll just continue around. Obviously, you know, guys, feel free to comment on what I say. You know, if you haven't included it, if you have something you want to say about it. If you have included it, maybe you just want to wait, save your thoughts till later. But so, yeah, my number seven would have to be Anakin's theme from Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. I really like the way John Williams writes this song, and especially in light of the fact that it's for Episode 1. It has a very, you know, youthful feel to it. I mean, it's certainly written to portray a young character. And there's just such an innocence to the song, and it's very light and you know, engaging. And also I love the way it ends. There's like that, you know, that very soft hint of Darth Vader's theme, which I think is really great because it foreshadows that. But at the same time, you know, this is not Darth Vader yet. This is a child, Anakin Skywalker, and I think that does such a, they use it so well throughout Episode 1. And then, you know, they'll even hint at it later in Episode 2 and 3 as well. The way it works is, I think this, you know, it's called Anakin's theme, you know, and in opposition, you know, if you contrast it with Darth Vader's theme, Darth Vader's theme is very, you know, powerful and oppressive, whereas Anakin's theme is, I mean, it's the song of a youth, and it's, there's this very, you know, optimistic feel to it, you know, of like, the sky's the limit, you're still young, you're still a child, there's, you know, there's all these possibilities still open to you. So I really enjoy that song.
It's a good pick.
Yeah, that's a great one. It really reflects Anakin's innocence in Episode 1, I think, in the way it sounds, with that slight hint, as you say, towards Darth Vader's theme. But yeah, that's one reason I liked it so much. I've had the pleasure to meet Jake Lloyd once, and I think it said at one point that he, at the time when I met him, it was, I guess, April or May 2010, and it was before I really had started podcasting, but I don't think he was quite as turned on to the Star Wars community as he had before, and I think he had experienced, and he's been open about it since then. It's not a secret or anything that he had been bullied in school, and as it, like, only Only in school where kids gonna say like playing Anakin Skywalker is somehow a bad thing.
I know.
Yeah.
But he was very nice. He was still very nice, and I think he's since warmed a little. And I've seen him on his Facebook page and stuff. But I think he could play an interesting. It would have been interesting to see him play Anakin at a slightly older age too. It's always interesting to do the what ifs, but definitely another favorite of mine.
Yeah. Now you've got me thinking.
I know. I'm going to make this episode 4 hours, aren't I?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah. All right.
So, Kyle, would you mind sharing your number 7?
Yeah, my number 7 I picked Across the Stars from episode 2. And I just love that one, just the way it sounds and the different, you know, kind of harps and, like, the softer sound of it. And I just think it perfectly complements, like, what it stands for in the movie, you know, the romance between Anakin and Padme. Which, you know, say what you want about the acting, but I think purely from a story point of view, I think it really is kind of like a beautiful thing and tragic at the same time. And I think the music fits that perfectly. And I like, too, how, I don't know, there are different parts in the song where it kind of will reflect different parts of, like, you know, there are times when it's kind of light and romantic and there are times when it's a little more dark and dramatic. Which again, I think goes with their relationship really well, and I just think it's a great sounding piece that really, you know, does a great job complementing the scenes in the film that it's used for.
Indeed.
Good pick, but I'm gonna have to save my comments till later.
Yes, yes, indeed. Riley, number 7.
Yeah, before I jump into my number 7, I will get to give a brief preface. The music of Star Wars, since that's what we're talking about in this episode, has had a profound effect on me and my life and my appreciation of music, especially classical music and movie soundtracks. It was really the foundation of where it is, and I think I think we all have our own unique story about how we got connected with the music of the Star Wars saga, and that one's unique. And mine is, I still remember very clearly, my older sister was in college at the time, and she had a set of, I don't even know when these were sold, but a set of 4 discs that covered only the original trilogy. Have you seen any of these discs? Are you familiar with this particular product?
No, I don't think so.
You said it was just the original movies, Riley?
Just the original movies with 4 discs,
yep,
one for each.
Yep, and then there's a
bonus. Remember seeing?
Oh yeah, my cousin had it. I loved it.
Yeah, that was my introduction. Was wearing out her Star Wars CDs. Those are still around too. She still has those, and so that was my back in the days when it was in the mid 2000s when the idea of copying CDs was first possible, and she made me copies, and that was amazing. And so that's kind of the background music. And so I would, this was before I had watched any of the films. And so I knew the Star Wars music very well before I watched any of the films. And this is somewhat common. The same happened with Lord of the Rings and some other films as well. And that's pretty unique and rare and something that I really do appreciate that I was able to do, because it really lent an appreciation to the themes of Star Wars, because you wouldn't know exactly what was happening, but you could guess. You could look through the pamphlets and see the pictures beside the song title and kind of guess what's happening. And so when I bought, the first soundtrack I ever bought was in early 2005, and in theaters was Revenge of the Sith. And I didn't get to see it in theaters, unfortunately, but I did, by golly, buy that soundtrack. Bethany and I split the cost. Because it was $14.99, and that was pretty steep. So we split the cost, and lo and behold, I was super surprised to see what was the name of that special DVD that came with that soundtrack? Star Wars in Concert was a version of it.
Star Wars in Concert was amazing. I think it was called Journey Through the Stars or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Or it was, I think maybe it was just called Star Wars: A Musical Journey.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the one. So that was really, really amazing to me. And later I bought the episode 2 soundtrack and I would learn to play in somewhat simple fashion some of the Star Wars songs on the piano. Super Dark Secret that you guys are getting an exclusive that no one really in the Star Wars community knows yet. Here you go. Bethany is an extremely accomplished pianist, and she knows some really complex and amazing versions of the Star Wars, various Star Wars themes on the piano. She knows a remarkably complex Battle of the Heroes that one of these days I'm going to go to an actual concert hall, you know, with a decent acoustics, with good microphones, and record it. And maybe even film it. We'll see. Not to be presumptuous on Bethany. That's her decision. But I'm hoping to convince her one day. So that's for the people who listen to the Wampa's Lair, and you know who you are. That's a super dark secret. So anyway, coming full circle, Musical Journey, the menu popped on, and now I come to my number 7. And I promise I won't make each one this long. And it was the Force theme, but I had never heard it before. I was like, where did I miss this? I've listened to the episode 1 CD over and over again, the 2 and 3 CD at this point, and I saw this Musical Journey menu, and I was just amazed at that the Force theme that plays on that menu when you pop that DVD in. And I finally, after painstakingly listening through the whole episode 1 soundtrack, because I started in order, I came to track number 11, and this is my number 7 musical moment. It's not really the whole track. It's Watu's Deal and the Kids at Play. And this is where I come to my theme of the kind of the underappreciated Star Wars songs. I don't think people know this one as much, but if you go into that song and just go 2.5 or so minutes into it, that theme plays. And in the movie, it's when Qui-Gon and Shmi are talking about the conception of Anakin Skywalker, which is, of course, now pretty in the forefront of the fan community because of the Darth Plagueis novel. So yeah, that's my number 7. Watu's Deal and the Kids at Play. Very underappreciated and little known, I think. Were you familiar with that one?
Oh, I love that song, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not as familiar with the track itself, but as you were describing it, like before you said where it was in the movie, I could picture that scene perfectly. I'm trying to think, like, where in The Phantom Menace, like on Tatooine with Watto and kids, would there have been the Force theme? And I was when Shmi and Qui-Gon are talking about, like, you know, if he had been born in the Republic and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the songs on that soundtrack are a little confusing with their titles, but the one that is not very confusing is Qui-Gon's Noble End, before the movie even came out.
Yes.
Yeah, and see, it's funny because that was, you know, the episode 1 was also another soundtrack that my older sister owned during college, and you know, it's 6 years later after the film came out, but that still didn't mean that it spoiled the movie for me, too. Just like everybody else 5-6 years earlier. So, yeah, my story is similar on that count as well. So that's my number 7.
All right. Well,
yeah. And I would have to agree, too, that there are a lot of kind of underappreciated tracks because maybe a lot of the track isn't really remarkable, but there's a really good piece in it, or it's, you know, there might be a good moment in it that you wouldn't know just from the title because it's, you know, it's like maybe the title describes the first half of it, and then there's a second half of it that's from a different part of the movie that they kind of mashed them together.
Yeah, and a quick mention, that's why it's a travesty that they haven't released complete recordings of all of the films. They did with episode 1, and I do own that. A very rare blue-covered 2-disc episode 1 complete soundtrack.
Yes, I have that.
Jason and I used that under the our last episode for our Jar Jar Strikes Back episode. So that way we had the entire soundtrack playing in the background. The sad part was the fact that we went a half an hour longer than the movie. So.
Wow.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But Jason.
Yeah. My number 7.
What's your number 7?
All right. Well, I've been listening to all of you guys, and I'm going to totally break the trend as far as the sound, the way, you know, because a lot of these tracks that you guys have been talking are very low-sounding, you know, quieter pieces of music, very good pieces of music, but much quieter than the one I'm about to unleash upon you. And my number 7 would have to be The Battle of Endor 1 is the track from Return of the Jedi soundtrack, and it's just that the startup, the buildup of that entire battle that starts tumbling out of control at the end of Return of the Jedi. And just the music getting ready for the space battle, and that stuff just always gets me excited. And I had to put it on my list somewhere. But it's just such a great piece of music to get you amped up and excited for the rest of the battles and the rest of the story that continues on to the end of that movie. And I love that part. And I don't think Admiral Akbar's "It's a trap!" would have been quite so epic without the music behind it. So,
wait a minute.
True enough.
How could they be tracking us if they don't know that we're coming?
Oh. All ships, pull off. My reader doesn't show anything, are you sure?
All craft, pull up! All craft, pull up!
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. What line from that scene can I quote that you guys haven't said yet?
Captain, we have enemy ships coming in Sector 3-7. It's a trap! Sorry. I just said all of them.
No, sometimes you can't help yourself.
No, I can't. All right, so that's my number 7. Any comments on that, or shall we continue on?
For me, I thought about those ones, and it was hard to pick one of those moments from the Battle of Endor tracks, because they're like three separate parts on the Return of the Jedi soundtrack,
and they're all like, over 6 minutes long.
Yeah, they're all like 10 minutes long or something. Earlier in my honorable mentions, when I mentioned the Emperor's theme, there's actually a version of that that I really like in the Battle of Endor 2, which is, it's from the scene in the movie where Palpatine's electrocuting Luke with the Force lightning, and it's like a much kind of louder, more dramatic version of the Emperor's theme. But yeah, you got to go digging through a 10-minute long track to find it. But yeah, I mean, so there are a lot of little great moments through those tracks that happen, you know, in different cool parts of the movie.
Indeed. Indeed.
That's a great pick, Jason. You're right. It is. It's very loud in comparison to what we've picked so far. And it's such a great, build up to that battle. So good pick. So, I'm going to hop on to my number 6 then. Number 6 for me, and it's kind of difficult. Some of mine are like very small snippets of music that of course we hear used over again, but for me, number 6 would be Binary Sunset, which is off Star Wars A New Hope, which is that famous scene where Luke is standing, staring off into the twin setting suns, and it's the first time we really hear the blast of the Force theme. I mean, I think that's essentially what that song is known as. It's, that particular theme is known as the Force theme. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That is correct.
Okay, good. If you separate it from the scene itself, it's still a great song, but especially in light of the scene, when Luke is staring off, I mean, it's just such a triumphant song, and it's such a, you know, it's just such a beautiful song that, you know, when Luke is looking off, I mean, that music basically plays out the emotion inside of him. You know, there is this hopeful longing that, you know, there is something more, there's something great to come. And I think in a very real way, I think this song is, in a certain sense, it is Star Wars. It's such a big part of Star Wars that it does a great job of capturing that feel and portraying the emotion of Luke Skywalker, portraying the emotion of Star Wars itself. It's a very uplifting piece. I mean, it is somewhat soft, but it's loud and soft. I don't know much about musical terms. I mean, I am somewhat a musician, but not a very intelligent one. I think what it does is essentially it gives us a very clear statement of hope, and I love that song. So that's my number 6.
Ditto.
That's your number 6 as well, Riley.
My number 6, but okay. Agreed with everything you just said.
gotcha. It's a very good piece, and it is basically the first time, if you go through the movies the way that they were released, it's the first time that we do hear the Force theme, which of course is echoed throughout many moments throughout the rest of the saga, and it's possibly the clearest that we ever hear it, and it's such a that whole moment there on Tatooine with Luke Skywalker by himself with the sunset is one of the most singular, most intelligent and dramatic cinematic moments in movie history, simply because the images, the motivation behind it, and the music. It's just one of the greatest cinematic moments in movie history, and I will stand by that to my grave. So, good pick.
Yeah, I'm not going to say too much about that one, but yeah, it's a great scene and a great piece.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, Kyle, you want to give us your number six?
Yes, and mine are going to kind of alternate between some of the slower, softer, more emotional pieces and some big epic ones. My number six is Battle of the Heroes from Revenge of the Sith. Just what can you say about it? It's a great piece that goes with a great scene from the films. You know, one of my favorite lightsaber battles that's kind of like the climax, not just of Revenge of the Sith, but of the prequels. And, I think the music kind of conveys a whole lot of what's going on in that scene when Anakin and Obi-Wan are fighting, is that it's not just, you know, two guys fighting, but it kind of carries with it all the weight of what came before, that, you know, this is kind of like the fate of the Jedi Order on the line, that it's these two guys that used to be great friends and now, you know, they've turned against each other, and just all the conflict in the galaxy. And I don't know, I just think that song kind of wraps up so much of like the tragedy and the action and the emotion and the tension and just all that stuff. I think it's just a great big epic piece that goes really well with the battle scene. You know, if you had asked me this like 5 years ago when I was a teenager, when Revenge of the Sith came out, this would probably be my number one. But, you know, now a few years later, I've kind of put it more in perspective with the rest of the films, but it's still, yeah, one of my favorite moments and one of my favorite pieces.
It's a really good pick. And I like it because not only is it a big epic sounding piece, but also it's, in some ways, it's almost slightly muted to give you the more tragic aspect of what's going on with it. It's big, it's epic, it's got the choir there going, but it's not like Duel of the Fates in your face type of constant action sound. So
yeah,
it's a very good piece, very well rounded piece, and a very excellent pick. Yes. Any comments, Riley?
Ditto.
Awesome.
Agreed completely.
All right. But Riley, now that we come to you, it's your number six.
Well, I had a little bit of fun here. I'm kind of, you'll notice a theme here, going from episode one over to episode two, one that I don't think is very appreciated. And one of my favorite little moments is episode two, track number four, Yoda and the Younglings. Specifically the latter portion, with the remarkably cute, what I like to think of as the young Ahsoka. I know she's not, canonically speaking, but that's what I think of her as, with a boys choir. The only time, correct me if I'm wrong, but the only time I believe John Williams used a boys choir in Star Wars. Something that Howard Shore loves to do with Lord of the Rings. Fun fact there. I'm sure you guys will probably get emails if that's incorrect, but yeah, one of my favorite moments. That's my number six, Yoda and the Younglings.
Very nice.
That's a great piece. Yeah, it's not on my list, but that's one of my favorite songs as well from episode two. You know, I think there's such a it's similar to your number seven though, Riley. Too, you know, that the kids at play in Watto and whatnot. There's just like this really the beginning part of the song, which also is not my favorite part of the song, but it's there's just such this, I don't know, there's just like this cute. This cuteness to it, if you will. That's a great pick.
Yeah, I was going to put that one on my list, but I couldn't find it on my iTunes because someone erased it from the archive memory.
Master?
I did not see that one coming.
Touche, Kyle. Touche. That is the best line of the night so far.
Yes.
Oh, I thank you. Now I'll have to one-up myself.
Oh, well.
Oh, my goodness.
Jason, what's your number six?
Okay, let me recover from that. All right. My number six is from Revenge of the Sith, and it's Anakin's Dark Deeds. And this music plays when it starts when Yoda and Obi-Wan go into the temple and they start looking at the dead, the bodies of the dead Jedi, finding out that it's, you know, done. They've been killed by a lightsaber, and then it cuts back and forth between Anakin massacring the separatists on Mustafar and Palpatine's takeover of the Senate as Emperor. I just love that piece, and it's such a tragic sounding piece, that is such a rich tragic sounding piece, and I just love it because it. The music goes back and forth between the two scenes seamlessly, and it's almost telling the same story with the music. The same thing is happening in both places with that music, and it's just such a great piece. And then the end of the music goes into the aftermath that we see in Anakin standing out at the, you know, on the balcony of Mustafar after the atrocities he's just committed. Crying, yes. You know, and we
the
see
man
him.
Tears.
Yes, the man tears there at the end, and that's so. That piece is, I get chills listening to that piece, and it's just one of the standout tracks on the Revenge of the Sith soundtrack for me. So I had to make sure that that one made my list. So.
Yeah, that's not on my list, but it is a great piece, and I to add one more comment, it's just interesting because I will confess it right now, as you guys name tracks, I'm playing them back and listening to, you guys can't hear it, but I'm listening to them in the background as we talk, and it made me realize just how heavily John Williams focuses on the choral aspects of the symphony, where he really uses the choir a lot in episode 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, this is another one that didn't quite make my list, but was really close. I pretty much agree with everything you said, Jason. And in fact, the other night I was texting you as I was working on this list, and I was like, oh, I got, you know, 14 now. And then I, you know, now I got to start narrowing it down. And then I was like, oh crap. And I just found one more that I want to add to my list. And this, I'm pretty sure this is the one I was talking about. it eventually didn't make the cut, but yeah, it's a great piece. And like you said, just the way that it goes back and forth between kind of the quiet, you know, the sad stuff with the Jedi and then the dark epic stuff with Anakin. And then when it goes to, I think also included in that piece is when like the music plays when Palpatine is telling the Senate that they're turning into an empire.
Yes.
And I just love that kind of rousing choir piece right there as he's, you know, looking up with his hands raised and everyone's cheering. And then Padme says her thing about, you know, liberty dies with thunderous applause. This is one of those pieces where I can listen to it and pretty much picture exactly everything that's happening in the film that goes with it because it just, you know, flows so well and, like, tells the story with the music.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a great piece.
Alrighty. All right. Well,
I really like that song too, Jason. Also, it didn't make my list, but, you know, like you said, it does a great job of interacting with two different scenes so well.
Yeah, but I like right at the end where it ends where Padme's quote is, so this is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause.
Yes.
And
yeah, it
makes me think of Shakespeare, and then I wanted to hear it, I wanted to, Bail Organa when he says, and so it ends. and so it ends.
Yes. Great, well, you know what, I guess it's time for the top five in this top seven discussion.
Yes.
All right.
So my top five, this is probably the loudest of the songs that I have picked, and it is certainly one of the most epic songs. And it did only make number five for me. Find out later as to why. But for me, it's the song The Throne Room from Episode 4, A New Hope. It is the scene, of course, we all know when Han and Luke are walking down the aisle and everybody's watching them and loving on them, and C-3PO is now so clean, and Leia's hair is finally sort of normal. that music is just so great. I mean, it's got a great marching beat to it, but it's not like some cheesy marching band song. I mean, it's It's full of power. The horns are so strong on that song. You know, to me, that's like the perfect pump-up song from Star Wars. I know I've heard other people say, you know, the Imperial March or Duel of the Fates, which, sure, those are great ones too, but I think this one especially, it's just, it's very powerful, and it fits that scene so perfectly. Like, it's so triumphant. Like, if I hear that song come on, and I'm walking, I'm like, yes, I'm going to get a medal at the end of this song. I mean, it's just, it's such an exciting song. I love it.
Yeah, it's a great one. But I will reserve more comment.
Okay.
As will I.
Okay. Riley, will you be reserving comment as well?
I will not, other than to say that that's also commonly used, I've heard, at weddings sometimes. Oh, and it is appropriate, walking down the aisle. It was. I had a friend who, it's not Star Wars, but he got married, and right after the You May Kiss the Bride, he picked her up and literally ran out of the sanctuary and jumped in the honeymoon car to the Indiana Jones theme.
Nice. And,
wow.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. That kind of reminded me of that.
That is funny. That's really funny.
I think I'll do that.
Yeah, that's pretty great. Perfect song for walking down the aisle, though. No doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
Kyle,
number five.
Number five. All right, I picked Sail Barge Assault from Return of the Jedi.
Nice.
Again, one of my kind of louder, more epic ones on here. It's actually on the track. It's like the Pit of Carcoon and the Sail Barge Assault, but the part I like kind of starts, it's like a couple minutes into it, and it starts just kind of with those singular beats that you hear as Luke is standing out on the, the plank of that skiff. And then, you know, all of a sudden it goes into like the grand epic music as he jumps off and R2 shoots him his lightsaber and he flips it. And, I just love how it kind of starts kind of slow and tense and then just gets big and heroic and just stays that way the whole rest of it. I mean, I love the sound at the end, but all the way through it, it's just, kind of keeps up the energy and the intensity. And it's one of those songs that kind of like perfectly complements like the heroes of the movie and their kind of highest moments. Because that's one of the moments in the film where, you know, there's kind of trouble, I guess you could say, like the heroes are sort of in danger, but you're not really scared for them. Like, you know, like Luke's got a plan to get out of this, and then the whole time, you know, you never really feel like, oh crap, what's going to happen to them? It's kind of like just this heroic moment throughout, all the way until they, you know, swing off the sail barge and blow it up and fly away as it's exploding behind them. And, it's just one of those big heroic moments where you know the good guys are going to win. And, I think the music goes really well with that, and I just love the way it sounds all the way through.
Yeah. Yeah. This did not make my my top 10. I almost put it in my short list, but I knew it wasn't going to make the top 7, so I left it off because I knew it wasn't going to make it. But because there were too many ahead of it, but it's a great piece, and like you said, those singular beats that just start the whole thing off, those are just the anticipatory notes of the piece, and it's, you're just like eager to hear what happens next, see what happens next. You're like, okay, this is where the heroes are going to shine, and you just want to get on to the next note and hear how it just continues to expand that. It's a great piece.
Yeah, and I think with those beats there at the beginning, that's kind of the only part where it's real, you know, kind of tense and dramatic, and you're like, ooh, what's going to happen? And then as soon as R2 shoots that lightsaber out, you're like, oh, he's got this, you know? And then the whole rest of the way, it's just like, yeah, the good guys are winning. But, see, this is one of those ones that when I was making my list, this wasn't one of the first ones that popped into my head. But then I, because, some of the first ones I thought of were things like the Imperial March and Duel of the Fates and stuff like that. And then I went into my list of Star Wars music in my iTunes and started listening to other tracks and was like, oh yeah, this is one of those really good ones that I don't think about a whole lot, but then I listen to it and I really like it, so I had to throw that one in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Riley. Mr. Blanton. What do you
have
to give us for your number five?
All right, continuing the theme, moving from episode 1, 2 to now 3. It's actually one that I don't think I've ever brought up on a podcast that I don't think I've heard anyone say this before, so this may be unique. I hope so. It's track number 2 from the Episode 3 soundtrack, Anakin's Dream. Partway into it, it's the only time in Episode 3 that John Williams briefly uses the love theme from Attack of the Clones, but he uses it in this really classic 1950s romance movie style single violin note in the old style of maybe the Humphrey Bogart classic films, and I just love that homage and style to classic romance, and I think the romance between Padme and Anakin played a lot better in Episode 3 than it did Episode 2, and part of that didn't hurt that the musical theme had changed, it had taken a darker tone, but just that brief moment there where that violin comes forward. Do you guys know the part I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Pretty sure.
Yeah, that's one of the, I think that's one of the best songs without a doubt on that soundtrack.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to make that my number 5.
That's a good one.
That is a good pick.
And it's, yeah, like I said, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Kyle.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I had Across the Stars as my number 7, so obviously I like that love theme a lot. And that was one of the ones I listened to as I was kind of trying to pick out my list. And that's a great track. One of the few instances where I think I almost like the music better by itself, just because those are some of my least favorite lines in the movie when they're standing out there on the balcony talking about like, oh, I love you. No, I love you. And I just think it's kind of cheesy, but I do really like the music in that scene.
Yeah. It's very pretty, but it has like a very dark statement to it, which is what I like.
Yes.
It's a nice contrast and an emotion. Because it is a scene. It's a scene about like, it's two lovers together. Yay. What a great night and bad acting. And then there's this very dark dream, and the dark dream is essentially what's going to start to tip the balance for Anakin. So it's an incredibly well-written piece.
Indeed. Indeed.
But Jason, I think we're on you, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And I'm going to stick with what I did last, our last top 5 list, and I'm going to, in the middle of the episode, switch up some of my tracks, some of my answers here. And I moved around my number 4 and number 5 spots, so now my number 5, which used to be my number 4, is the Imperial March. Somebody's going to say it eventually, so I figure might as well get it out of the way. Going and seeing, I was able to see the special edition in the theater, and going and seeing that, and then hearing this music play with when you get that introductory shot of all the Star Destroyers and the big Super Star Destroyer just dwarfing them all and then cutting to Vader, that made the Empire instantly scary for me at 7 years old. Because I was like, well, they blew up the Death Star. How scary is the Empire going to be in this movie? And then, we get the Wampa and everything, but then we get the Empire. They show up. And this music, combined with just all the Star Destroyers, made me go, oh, maybe this isn't going to turn out so well. But it is such a statement piece. It is Darth Vader. It just makes the statement for Darth Vader as to who he is at this point. And it is such a perfect piece, and it's obviously popular because you hear it in stadiums all the time. You can't go to some big, giant event with thousands and thousands of people without having somebody either mention it or hear it somewhere. And I loved it when we were at Fan Days, because that was one of the tracks that they had playing on the list. And every time, it would come on, you'd straighten up just a little bit, because, Darth Vader's going to come walking down and, stormtroopers have to look presentable, But it's one of those tracks that instantly commands respect of whoever is it's playing for. And I sometimes when I walk up to, Target or something, Walmart, and I go up to the this automatic doors. I'll have that playing in the back of my head as I, you know, wave my hand to make the doors open. So, and I'll find myself whistling that at work sometimes too. So that is one reason why that is my number five. And you're going to find out that my list tends to follow the more epic sounding pieces because I just love epic sounding music. So, and I can't help it. But
epic sounding.
Yes. But yeah, so that's my number five, the Imperial March.
Yeah. Definitely couldn't agree more. And it's funny because the first Star Wars musical piece that I have memory of was my older sister playing it. And it was from the Return of the Jedi soundtrack, The Emperor Arrives, and the Death of Yoda piece, but right at the beginning there. And that was the first time I think I ever heard any Star Wars music, if my memory serves me correctly.
Little introduction there.
It actually didn't make my list. I think it's an iconic Star Wars song. It's just not one of my favorites. I have no real attachment to it. I mean, it's so great. It's very powerful. It's very commanding, and it's the perfect song for Darth Vader and the Imperial fleet, but it doesn't really do anything for me, I guess, so that's why it's not on my list. But it's a great pick. You can't and so many people that wrote in mentioned the Imperial March, so I'm glad that it's been brought up at least once now. So
yes, yeah.
I kind of agree with you, Carl. I mean, like I said, I have that in my honorable mentions too, just because the song doesn't do a whole lot for me by itself. I mean, I kind of tried to judge these on, like, just listening to the music itself, which ones kind of gave me the most emotion or made me, like, associate with a really powerful moment from the films. But when you hear the Imperial March in the movie, or like Jason said, when you go to, a sporting event or, somewhere else and you hear it associated with somewhere else, I mean, it fits with so many things when, just when, like, an important person walks into a room. It's just a great theme that you can put to a lot of stuff and, kind of get the same meaning with it.
Yeah, actually.
But, I also like, Jason, how you said that this basically is Darth Vader's theme, even though it's called the Imperial March. It's like you hear that and you instantly think of Darth Vader. And I remember it was probably just a couple years ago or maybe a few years ago that I realized for the first time that this song isn't in Episode 4. Because it's just one of those things you don't really think of because you just associate it with Darth Vader, and obviously he's a prominent character in the first movie.
Right.
But, John Williams didn't write it until Empire Strikes Back. But, it's like you could easily picture that being in A New Hope because, just like wherever Vader goes, you kind of hear that music in the back of your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, just real quickly, I want to do my favorite use of the Imperial March in all of, in the entire films is actually, and you guys, this will probably be developed now throughout much of the rest of my list. For some reason, I do like the more soft songs. Maybe it's because I'm a soft-hearted fella. I don't know. my favorite use of Darth Vader's theme is actually the scene in the end of Return of the Jedi when Luke is, he's taken Vader's mask off, or I guess we should say Anakin's mask off, and he dies, and Luke droops his head, and that's just, it's like one finger on the piano just playing. It's not like chords. It's just each individual note is being softly played in the background as Luke, is quietly crying. It's almost like that song, that song, which has been so powerful and so well used for like dominance and conquering, is now this sad ballad of, the death of a redeemed man. I think that was the my favorite way in which the Imperial March was used, is that very brief snippet at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, it's a good little moment there for the piece.
So, but I believe, what is that, number four now?
Yes, number four.
Okay, so my number four is from The Empire Strikes Back, and it's Lando's Palace. I just love this song. I have loved this song since I was a kid. I remember when I first made my first Star Wars CD, burned my first Star Wars CD to play in my car when I was in high school. That was one of my favorite songs to blast, even though it's not really a powerful song, but it's just so fun. And, it's, just the way it, like, it perfectly matches Cloud City. When you hear that song, you're like, oh, I'm in Cloud City. Everything's fine.
You truly belong here with us among the clouds.
Yes. See, oh, that line right there, Riley. You truly belong here with us among the clouds. When I, for the longest time, I was like, is he saying among the clouds or you belong with us mun clouds? Like, is that what they call themselves on Cloud City? They're mun clouds. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it is among the clouds.
So it's like the small aliens in the carbon freezing chamber are actually munchkins.
They're actually just making chocolate in that vat. I love Lando's palace. That song is it's very flighty and freeing. I don't know. And I think more than anything, it's a connection to Cloud City, which I've mentioned on one of our past episodes. I love Cloud City. I think it's one of my favorite places visually. So that's really what it does. It just connects me to those scenes on Cloud City before everything goes wrong. Cloud City seems like such a safe haven. And that's what it really is, essentially. You know, it's this song of like, hey, we're among friends now. We're going to be okay. We're gonna be safe after this long chase. And I'm fairly certain that it's the song ends, you know, that actual track ends on the soundtrack with, you know, a very brief statement of the Imperial March because 3PO's just been blasted. And it's, you know, your eyebrows are raised. It's like, uh-oh. Maybe this isn't as fun and free as we thought. So I just love that track.
It's a good pick. Mm-hmm. Surprising pick.
Yes, indeedy.
Yeah, that's one of those ones that just, you know, wouldn't be on my top 7, but that I still really like anyways. And that if I could have like a top 25, it would probably be on there somewhere.
Well, you know, Kyle, you can have a top 25. You could just publish it for everyone to read.
I don't know how I would. No, because I'd spend like 2 weeks getting them all in order.
Great. Well, Kyle, what about you? What's your number 4?
My number 4, going in a darker direction, is Anakin's Betrayal from Revenge of the Sith. Mm. You have the music that plays at once, like as soon as Order 66 goes out, and you just see all the scenes of the clones betraying the Jedi. And I just love that music just because it's like the music itself has so much emotion in it. Like I can listen to that track just by itself, like sitting in my room, and it actually like makes me feel sad. And you know, you just think of these, you know, these heroic, noble warriors who stand for peace and justice, and they've been betrayed and they never saw it coming. And there's just like, it's almost like this feeling of hopelessness. Like there's nothing they can do about it. You know, it's not like they're fighting this huge epic battle and they're losing, but they can try to fight back. It's like, no, they got totally blindsided, and it's just, you know, totally devastating and tragic, and you know, there's nothing they can do. And you know, I kind of like in the movie how it's cutting back and forth between all these Jedi getting killed and Yoda as he realizes pretty much all that stuff I just said about what the music kind of conveys. And so I was listening to this you know, a couple days ago when I was putting my list together, and I almost could like put myself in Yoda's shoes, just like feeling the emotions of that song, of like what he must be feeling, of, you know, realizing you know, oh, like this is what was going on this whole time, and now that we know, like we can't do anything to stop it. And you know, just that feeling of loss and hopelessness. And you know, normally that's not the kind of stuff I would put in like my top 4. I'm not like, yay, I like sad music, but you know, I like it just because it's a beautiful piece, I think, you know, really well written, and I just think it perfectly conveys those emotions so much. And any song that can, you know, hit me emotionally, I think, you know, is really good music. So that's my number 4 pick.
Awesome.
All right. Oh. I'll jump into my number 4 then, unless there are further comments.
No.
Not to jump in. Not to jump in too quick. I can't believe nobody's mentioned Lofty Neck yet. anyway, my number 4 pick is continuing to episode 4, A New Hope. And that is in the 2-disc versions, mind you, not the previous black set. I don't have that, although I should get that for nostalgia's sake. I may have to go on eBay after this, guys. But on the 2-disc set, disc 2, track 10, The Battle of Yavin. A very long track, but right at the end towards where the Death Star blows up. John Williams does something that he doesn't do again until episode 2. And that's not, he does a large build-up, and then the music mutes as the Death Star explodes. And I love that musical cue, and I love that moment. I always get chills in that last sequence of A New Hope going down the trench run. And so that's definitely my number 4. And I guess it's one of the few moments that never gets old for me. I always get chills and really enjoy that scene every time. And not to mention that each year we've made it a tradition of timing it to where we start the movie where the Death Star blows up exactly at midnight. Started that from the Force Cast guys. They started doing that. So we start that. We've done that for now 3 years running, believe it or not, and we'll be doing it again next year.
Awesome. That's pretty cool. It's a good idea. Might have to do that.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to make it like a big Star Wars Report event and get everybody on and like synchronize, maybe do some kind of video broadcast.
Nice.
Not to be too ambitious or anything.
Right. But no, this is something that this track like narrowly missed my list. It was like if I had like a top 12, you know, it would have been 11 or 12 right there. This is such a great piece of music, and I love it because of the buildup. I mean, it starts off with a buildup, you know, the very military sounding drum beats and everything, and then it goes into the starfighter chase, you know, chaotic and, you know, lasers everywhere, and then you get focused
and then of course use the Force, Luke.
Yes.
That's where I was, right there, I
was gonna say if I had to pick a favorite moment from that track, because that, you know, that's another really long one, but yeah, my favorite kind of small moment from that track would definitely be the part where, you know, you got like the loud epic buildup as Darth Vader's getting right behind Luke, and then you hear the it's when Vader's still behind him, because it's not when Han comes and blasts him yet. But, you know, then the music just cuts out, and then it goes into the Force theme, and you know, hear Obi-Wan, use the Force, Luke. Like, I love how that kind of changes, and you're like, whoa, like, what is that almost?
Yeah. And then it cuts right back, and then you get that build up with the repeated note over and over and over again with more and more instruments each time, and it just keeps building before it cuts out for the Death Star explosion. And that is just one of my favorite build-ups in all the music, and John Williams does a lot of like long build-ups in his tracks and stuff like that, and which my mom says is a Beethoven trait. So
yes, it is.
Which is a lot of fun, and that is one of the tracks that if my list had been just a little longer, it would have been on there. So, any other comments before I continue?
Continue.
Okay. All right. My number four. And this track is a really, really fun track. And I feel like I have to get up and do something exciting every time I hear it. I was listening to it when I was making my list, and I was like, I have to get up. I have to just have fun with this piece. And no, it's not the Cantina music or Jedi Rocks.
Well, and please enlighten us, because you just canceled out my two guesses.
It's Augie's Grand Municipal Band.
Yes,
Augie's.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Yes, yeah. That is just what from the most of the Star Wars films have just amazing finale music, and this being one of them, and I just. It is one of the most fun, like, joyous sounding pieces that I think was ever written for Star Wars. And it's just pure, you know, abandonment to, like, just being happy and just joyous. And it's just, like, so much fun. And you can't help but smile every time you hear it, you know.
And of course, now I have to say, there were two times in which a voice choir were used. Drat!
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Before the episode even again, although technically I think it may have been more of a children's choir, but yes,
I've
remains to be my favorite, one of the most uplifting moments in The Phantom Menace, and seeing it in the theater was even more amazing.
Yeah, now, yeah, like you said, Jason, this is a good one. It's not one of my favorites, but I like it. I just have to ask, and maybe you can enlighten me, because you apparently like this track more than I do, maybe you know more about it. Who the heck is on it?
That is a great question.
I am not sure, but I am guessing. Now, this is my guess. This is something that I came up with like years ago, because I asked the same question when I got the CD from a friend, which is what started this whole obsession with film music in the first place. Who's Augie? And I was like, well, I guess, you know, maybe it's the Gungan that wrote the music for the parade, you know. So I was
Yeah, that would be my only guess.
I was like, you know, it's
Actually, Augie is George Lucas's grandmother.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm kidding. I just want to see if you believe me.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
Oh. Then I was going to say, wow. Then
I pulled it up. I'm pulling up Wikipedia. And so here we go. The general really brief summary, since there's literally like two pages here on Augie's municipal band.
Wow.
Is that it was composed of the finest musicungs, the musicians of the Gungan society, and under the conduction of Bizarre Pert, and the composer of the Gungan Grand Army, Aruga, quote unquote, Augie Jowl, and his apprentice instructed her until he retired. So that's who she is, basically. The great leader in 32 BBY, yeah, who succeeded Bizarre Pert as the composer of the Symphonica Crunchen Grand. Or I should say, see, I can't, where is this from? I demand sources, Wikipedia. This is outrageous.
Wow, that's but yeah, that was my only thought, is that it had to be the Gungan that wrote it.
Yeah,
that was my only thought, because Augie didn't sound like a Naboo name. It had to be a Gungan name. So that was my only thought.
So Augie isn't weird enough to be a Naboo name, because you have to go with something like Sio Bibble.
Oh, his goodness.
Theme song, because that would be my favorite. It would be very dignified. And yeah, it would end with a goatee, a very pointed goatee.
How do you write a goatee in music? That would be a good...
I'm sure it's possible.
Probably.
John Williams could do it. The only appearances of Augie's municipal band were in Episode 1, the Episode 1 comic, and the Star Wars manga, The Phantom Menace 2 issue.
So how did they have a soundtrack appear in a comic?
No, the band appeared in the comic.
So the band that's marching in the parade is actually called Augie's Band or whatever.
Municipal Band. Yeah, that is the band with Augie Jowl, whoever this fellow is. And so if you go to the Japanese comic, I bet Nathan Butler has this thing. You can see a picture. I'm going to send you guys a link in the old Skype in just a second here to where it appeared in comic form. The amazing adventures and remarkable appearances and the intense situations surrounding the performance. We need a Glee spinoff show featuring the Gungans.
Oh, oh no.
How would Journey's Don't Stop Believin' sung by the municipal band sound? I want to see that.
Oh, dear. What have I started? What have I done? I mentioned one track and we're talking about Glee spinoffs. Oh,
Jason, I think we can do our Gungan voices and get ourselves famous on YouTube with this.
We said don't stop. Believe that.
Oh my gosh.
Oh boy.
Oh.
Oh. My brain is fast. My brain. My brain has just gone spastic about this whole thing. Okay, number three. Carl, please rescue us.
Oh, wow, we're in our top three already.
Yep.
My number three is from Return of the Jedi. It's track two on the second disc. It's called Luke and Leia. Also another, you know, slower, soft piece. It's also known as Brother and Sister on the very next track. It's kind of the theme they develop, obviously, around Luke and Leia's relationship. You know, I don't really have that much to say about it. I just like how it sounds. You know, they use it so well in the film too. You know, definitely during the scene. I mean, I think we hear it most prominently in the movie, you know, in the scene when Luke and Leia are having the conversation, you know, about their mother that, you know, Leia knows, even though she never actually saw her, which is a huge plot hole, George Lucas, separate issue. You know, I think it's just such a pretty song, and it does a great job of, you know, basically giving us a sound to their relationship. Their finally proper relationship. They're no longer kissing each other, which is wonderful. but, you know, I think it does a very good job of, it's this very, you know, emotional song where, you know, their fates are somehow interconnected. You know, and I like the scene when it's used in the film. You know, Luke makes it very clear. We're like, look, even if I don't make it back, you can still fix this. You can still fix the galaxy's problems. You can still, you know, save everyone. And I think, you know, it's a really pretty song that links them together in a very familial way. It's, you know, it's not a romantic theme, kind of like, you know, the Han and the Princess theme from Empire Strikes Back. But it's very pretty and soothing in the same way, but there's no romanticism to it. So I like it because it's kind of like a love song for siblings. So I think it's John Williams does that very intelligently.
Yeah.
So that's my number three.
It's a good one. To go back and listen to that more carefully now that you've mentioned it. The scene that this is primarily featured in is one of the scenes that I always just watch very carefully because I have a very close relationship with my sister, and I like seeing the family revelation there, and it is one of the scenes that just sort of sets up the way the rest of the movie falls, or rises, whatever word you want to use there. But now that you've mentioned this, I am going to have to go back and listen to that piece more carefully. That's why I like doing these things, because you get all sorts of opinions and ideas and stuff from these things that you didn't even consider beforehand. So, sorry. Go ahead. Kyle.
Yeah, all right. My number three, I know someone mentioned this earlier lower on their list, but mine's Duel of the Fates. Just, you know, in the category of epic battle themes, that's top of my list. And like I said, when Jason first asked me to do this and put a list together, this was might have been the first one that popped into my head that I was thinking would probably be my number one, but ended up down at number three. But still, you know, I mean, I love the energy. I love the, you know, just the pacing of it and the sounds and it, you know, the instruments and the choir that goes with it, and you know, just evoke so many images of that battle with Darth Maul, which for me is like my favorite part of the Phantom Menace. So yeah, I mean, not a whole lot to say about it, just it's my favorite of the big epic themes, and you know, goes with one of my favorite scenes from the movie, one of my favorite lightsaber duels in all the saga. So yeah, that's my number three.
No comment.
Okay. I'll say a couple quick things because it was one of my honorable mentions. And, to me, Duel of the Fates is also, you know, it's a song that kind of epitomizes the rebirth of Star Wars. You know, I mean, this was the first song released off the Phantom Menace soundtrack back in '99. You know, that kind of reignited the Star Wars flame. You know, not that it was going out by any means, but, you know, it kind of, and it was the first new piece of Star Wars music anybody had heard, you know, in 15 years or so. It is. It's just, it's so epic with the choir and the movements of it. I mean, it's not all super loud and boisterous. I mean, it starts off very, like, grabs your attention right away. And then, you know, there's all this really quick violin work. And then it just crescendos at the end perfectly. It's so well used. And I mean, obviously, then they use it continually throughout the rest of the prequels. I mean, we hear it during much of episode two. We hear it in the duel with, you know, Yoda and Palpatine. So it's a great
duel. Yeah, I love that part in Return to Revenge of the Sith when they use that theme with the Yoda and Palpatine fight. But, you know, interestingly enough, I would have to say if there's one thing I don't like about Duel of the Fates, it's the, you know, like you said, kind of that softer, like, quick violin work. Mm-hmm. If you listen to this song, you know, on a CD or through your MP3 or whatever in your car, you cannot hear that part at all. And I know because I listen to it all the time. Yep. But, yeah, I'm listening to it with headphones on. I love that part because it's, you know, really intricate and is a nice build-up to the larger, more epic parts of the song. But, yeah, if you're listening to it somewhere where you can hear it, just the whole thing is great.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's one of my favorite pieces. It's not, it didn't make my list, but definitely, especially having been to the Phantom Menace screening recently, that it just always is a favorite of mine.
Indeed. Well, Riley, number three.
My number three is now moving all the way to episode 5 with Empire Strikes Back. I really love, it's on disc 2, track 11, Rescue from Cloud City and the hyperspace escape. I love the very end of this song as they finally, right at the end, and finally make that jump to hyperspace with that slight hint with the flute of Darth Vader's theme during the communication between Luke and Darth Vader. That really, I find a very inspiring moment and really epitomizes what The Empire Strikes Back is, that it is a middle act. It ends on a dark note. But I was, you really do root for the characters in that scene that they will escape, and they do.
Yeah. No, I do like that bit there, because it just gives you that little tension, that little, like, you know, are they really going to escape? You really want them to escape, but are they going to? Are they going to make it? And then finally they blast into hyperspace thanks to R2-D2, biggest hero of Star Wars ever. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. Because I love R2. But it is one of those great little pieces that it is underappreciated, and I know that's the way you wanted to go with your list, and it's,
yeah,
but it is one of those fun pieces, and I believe it's used a lot in video game, some of the Star Wars video games. So I'm thinking primarily of the Jedi Knight 2 game, I believe, the Jedi Academy 2 game, where you're Jaden Gore.
Yeah, it is used a lot in that one.
It's used a lot in that one, and I'm thinking primarily of one of the, I think it's the, I can't remember what level it is, but it's the one where they're on the train that's speeding out of control, that you have to go to the front and stop, and there's all the mercenaries and everybody on the train trying to stop you, but people probably going, it's, you know, that level, you know, and
no, yeah, like, I played for the record, I've played that game, and I have no idea. I mean, I can picture the level you're talking about. I can't remember the name, and you know, I'm not even trying to. I'm like, yeah, I haven't played that game in years, but see, I remember it playing in like the menu for like the multiplayer modes and stuff.
Yeah,
but yeah, I definitely used a lot in there.
And they may have used it also in the Shadows of the Empire game too, but I might be mistaken. But anyway, yeah, they that does get used a lot, and it's just sort of underappreciated. Good pick, Riley. Very good. And get the comp.
Yeah. I really like that song, too. Like, you guys kind of said, you know, it gives us this feeling of, like, oh, my God, are they going to get away? And it's really, like, edge-of-your-seat type writing, so it's really good. Jason, what about you? What's your number three?
My number three, and this will be the break in my epic sounding music here that I've got in my top seven list, and that would be Across the Stars, love theme from Attack of the Clones. It is one of the singular most beautiful pieces written for Star Wars, in my opinion. It is the Princess Leia theme from A New Hope is really nice and very. It's a very nice piece, and it was one of the ones that didn't make it in my top list, off my short list. But this piece takes the best elements and the best, like, what's the word I'm looking for? The best feeling from that piece, and just takes it higher. And it's just, I love the sweeping sound of the strings and in the symphony there as they perform it, and it does go up and down like somebody was talking about earlier. It goes into the slightly more darker tones in parts, and it's an up and down sort of piece. And if you're like me and you go through and you really like hitting all those battle pieces and stuff, it's one of the few non-dramatic epic sounding pieces that I just can't skip past, no matter how many times I'm like, I really want to get to this other piece, but I just can't skip past it because I love hearing it all the way through. And it, the up and down part of it just fits the relationship between Anakin and Padme, because their relationship is up and down. It's a rocky relationship and they have to keep it a secret. And is one of the best things, if not the best thing, to come from the Attack of the Clones romance. acting aside, it definitely was one of the standout pieces from Attack of the Clones, and my number three. So, thoughts?
Kyle, do you have any comments on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, this one was lower on my list, but I pretty much love it for all the reasons Jason just listed. So, yeah, I don't have a whole lot more to say about it, but, yeah, it's a really great piece. I love it. One of my favorites.
Yeah. Well, if we want to continue on, that's I could continue on with this.
Really? Yeah. Really?
All right, I'm back.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No problem. Riley, we just... Jason just mentioned his number two, Across the Stars, from Attack of the Clones.
Right.
Do you have any comments on that?
Yes, I do. As I mentioned before, and I'll go into a little bit more detail, Attack of the Clones, Across the Stars is, I think, one of the most beautiful love themes ever created for cinema. It's really well done. It's not in my list, because I focused more on the underappreciated ones, and that's definitely, I think, appreciated. And I was about... 14 years old, 13 years old, and I hadn't seen Attack of the Clones yet, but I'd listened to the soundtrack many times, and I'd learned the Across the Stars on the piano in my own somewhat altered way. And I was helping over at a friend's wedding, or one of my college, my sister's in college, one of her friend's weddings, and... the day that we cleaned up, there was free time and there was a grand piano, so I decided to try to play it. And someone else, another friend of hers, was commented and said, "Wow, that's great that you're playing piano there. It's a beautiful piece of music, but a terrible movie." And I thought, I hadn't seen it yet, keep in mind. And that was the first time I'd ever heard someone criticize the prequels. It kind of was burned in my brain in that I had never been exposed to anyone who had criticism for the prequels. Until that point, I still hadn't seen any of the prequels yet. Maybe the Phantom Menace, but yeah, that's kind of a funny story behind that. But yes, it's a beautiful piece.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and just one other little funny story I wanted to mention, because I was going to mention this when I put Across the Stars as my number seven, but slipped my mind back there. But after Attack of the Clones came out, I had a Star Wars Game Boy game, and I forget the name of it, but it takes place like
Adventures.
No, it takes place after Attack of the Clones, and you play as Anakin, and it's like a non-canon story. Like, you end, like, the final boss battle is you kill, like, a clone of Dooku, and it's, you know, kind of some weird stuff where you're running around trying to shut down these, like, prototype droid factories or something. In fact, the New Droid Army, that's the name of it.
Oh.
But, and so even though it was more of kind of like an action game, the music that played, like, on the main start menu was Across the Stars. And this was back before, or, you know, probably around the time that iPods were first coming out, but I didn't have one, or, you know, MP3 player or anything like that. And I didn't own the CD soundtrack to Attack of the Clones. So I used to, like, sit up at night and play this game for a while. And then when I was ready to go to bed, I would, like, you know, just, like, leave my Game Boy on for a while and just listen to that music through my headphones, like, at the start music, you know, even though it was kind of like the crappy, you know, 8-bit version of it or whatever you want to, you know, however you want to put it. But, you know, I just love that music so much. Even in a video game, I would just sit there and listen to it just for that.
That's awesome.
So that's one of my fondest memories of that piece.
All right, Carl, you said that you were just going to continue on with this?
Yeah, so my number two is Across the Stars. This barely was beaten out by my number one, which I'll mention, obviously, in a minute or here or so. But... this is very, 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 very close for me. I absolutely love this song. And I was really surprised because I'm definitely an OT person. I like the prequels, but I certainly prefer the OT. I typically prefer the music from the OT. But I can't get enough of Across the Stars. I think it's the most intelligently written piece. And I remember listening to John Williams' kind of explanation of the song. And he's basically saying, you know, I wanted to write something that was... you know, very romantic yet forbidden. You know, it's about a forbidden romance because here you have a Jedi and a senator. You know, they're not supposed to be getting involved. And for some reason, to me, it definitely does a very, very good job of you know, giving us this forbidden romantic theme. I think it's it's absolutely beautiful. And it's, I don't know, to me, it, you know, Jason, you've been mentioning the fact that there's been a lot of epic songs you have. To me, this has a very epic feel to it, though, when the violins really start to kick up during the, there's basically two crescendo moments in the song that, to me, those are very epic. And, it's in a very intense emotional song. You guys are just kind of mentioning some of your, you know, little stories surrounding the song. This was actually, I loved this song so much that at my very last guitar lesson that I ever took, this soundtrack had just come out basically a couple months before my last guitar lesson. My guitar teacher's like, what do you want to learn? It's your last lesson, anything you want. So I played the song. I'm like, teach me this on guitar. So I used to play Across the Stars on my guitar all the time. I loved it. I think it's such a beautiful piece, and it does a great job of capturing, you know, the emotion of Anakin and Padme. You know, it's, and there is this young love aspect to it. It's not a mature romantic song because they're not very mature. They're still very young. But it's just, when I hear that song, it just sweeps me right up. And to me, that's basically how I had to pick these songs, is which Star Wars songs do I really get lost in? You know, that's the point of any good music, let alone Star Wars. And Across the Stars is certainly one song I always just find myself captivated by. So that's my number two.
Awesome.
But
yeah, and Carl, I agree with something you said earlier too about how you like generally prefer the original trilogy. And I would say, like, on the whole, I think the music from the original trilogy is better than the prequels, but I also think that some of the singular tracks from the prequels are, like, some of the best ones in the whole saga. You know, like, I've got Duel of the Fates, Across the Stars, and Battle of the Heroes on my list. Those are, you know, probably some of my favorite tracks in all of Star Wars, even though, on the whole, I probably like the rest of the original trilogy, for the most part, better than the prequels' music. But, yeah, it's just got some really great tracks in there.
Absolutely. So I think you guys probably beat this song enough already. If you guys don't have any other comments, Kyle, we can go on to your number two.
No, sure. I'll give my number two. It's Light of the Force from the Return of the Jedi soundtrack. And somebody mentioned earlier the Binary Sunset theme and just kind of the Force theme in general. And that's basically what this is. It's the version of the Force theme that plays at the end of Return of the Jedi when Luke's burning Vader's body on Endor. And for me, it's just, I mean, I thought about putting Binary Sunset on here too, but this is just a more kind of a bit grander, more emotional version of it. So this is my favorite version of the Force theme. And like we've already said before, it's, you know, a great track. It's one of those ones that's just iconic in Star Wars. But yeah, like I said, this is my favorite version of it. And I love the, almost how it's like a sad moment, but happy at the same time. And it's like, you know, Luke is sad that his father's died, but at the same time, you're happy that the rebels won. You're happy that Vader returned to the light side at the end and, you know, saved his son. So, for me, the music right there is just sort of a perfect conclusion to the movie, even though you get the little Ewok celebration after that. For me, this is sort of the emotional conclusion of the film. It's almost like the resolution, like, you know, Vader's dead, the Emperor's dead, but Vader, you know, returned to the light side, the rebels are victorious, and it's sort of just it's almost like Luke reflecting on all that, and it's like the emotional reaction to all that, and I just think it's a great piece.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the best performance of the, or at least the best of the four various versions of the Force theme, that's the best one.
Yeah. It's I think the Force theme is just awesome no matter where it is, but that is a very good moment for it, and I love it. Yeah. when they put the Force theme in, and it always has some sort of importance whenever the Force theme is played, but this is one of those culminating moments of the Force theme. It's like the Force, as Rath has seen this to its conclusion, this is everything has followed the will of the Force, and that is what is being expressed here. So
yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, in that case, I guess I'll move on to my number. Oh, did I interrupt? Sorry.
No, just real quick. Just pigging back off of Jason, like I so often do, my little co-host.
All right, editor, start playing the love theme right now.
I think.
I'm blushing.
Kind of, oh, me too. So the, you know, the
legend. Be mindful of your feelings, Carl. They betray you.
I'd much rather be dreaming about Jason. Just being around him again is intoxicating.
Oh.
Okay, enough of that, everyone.
And I thought like this dialogue couldn't get any worse.
Yeah. All right. Man. So we get creepiest line of the night. Kyle still has best line of the night, though.
Yes, that squarely goes to Kyle this evening, yes. I think.
But anywho, yeah, the Light of the Force song, you know, It does. It's a great culmination of the Force theme. And like, you know, Jason was saying, it's a nice statement of everything that has just transpired. Yes, it's kind of a sad moment. Luke has lost his last real family member. I mean, remember, Bru and Owen are dead now. Obi-Wan is gone now. Yoda is gone now. He finally redeems his father just to lose him. But at the same time, he's coming back to this community of friends. He has redefined what family kind of is for him. And, you know, we see how the Force has always quietly been at work. In you know, everything in the Star Wars films. And, you know, this is a great culmination of the reality that it's not just characters making these decisions. There's something else, that they work with behind the scenes that's creating the fate of the galaxy. So that's a great pick. So anyway, Riley, why don't you go off your number two?
My number two is from Return of the Jedi. I'm now through six of them. So far. So I'm ending with six. My number two pick is Luke and Leia. This is the only one that I don't think is quite as underappreciated as some of the other ones, but I couldn't resist. This is a sentimental favorite. I really think of the various soft themes, whether it's Leia's theme or brother and sister or a number of other soft themes, Anakin's episode one theme. I think this is really my favorite of that particular style that John Williams does so well. And so Luke and Leia on disc 2, track 2 of the Return of the Jedi soundtrack. Really, really enjoy that one.
Yeah. And Carl, I believe you had that on your list earlier. Is that correct?
That was my number 3.
Okay, so, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you, Riley. And Riley, I think that was when you stepped away, which is fine. I think this is a great theme that, you know, shows it's an emotional expression of the love between the brother and sister. So, you know, from now on, maybe you and Bethany should start playing this more often in the background of the Star Wars.
There we go. You know? Yeah, Bethany will have to say, Bethany will start saying, I never knew our mother. I did know. There's an inconsistency there. I heard you reference that. Yeah.
Yeah. No. She claims to. She does have some very early memory of her mother, but it's like, how do you? You were right there with Luke, so.
Yeah. So the next one. Oh, I was just gonna say my next one, number one, when we get back around, will be my absolute favorite, and it's not at all underappreciated. But that'll just be a little tease till we get back around the circle.
Very Ooh. Good.
Even within our podcast, Riley gives a tease. Okay. All right. Well, my number two, and this has been already mentioned somewhere, but I have to put it up because it is my number two favorite piece, and that is the throne room and the end title from A New Hope. It is such a dramatic, important, epic-sounding piece, and I believe we were talking about it's used at weddings a lot, and it's funny because I was a couple of years ago I decided, you know, whenever I do end up getting married, that'll be one thing that I want as part of my wedding, is I want this to play as we walk back down the aisle, and that is something that my future wife will have to just deal with, whether she wants that or not. That's the only thing I'm going to require from the wedding, other than the fact that we have to, you know, get married.
So that's the deal breaker. How many kids, whether or not we have pets, and whether or not you can play the throne room theme.
Exactly.
Those are the breaking points.
Exactly. But it is just such a great piece, and it's used in all sorts of other Star Wars material as, you know, the ending for whatever it is, you know, the credits for video games and stuff like that. It's just everything. It's used all over the place. And I think rightly so, because it is such a grand feeling piece. And I just, and then it just flows so effortlessly into just the end title, the end credits music there, which is, you know, jazzed up version of the
the opening theme of Star Wars, and it's just such a great piece from start to finish, and I just love it. So, any other thoughts, or have we exhausted that one?
Ditto.
Yes. Yeah. I agree. Ditto.
Alrighty. Well, we are now moving on to number one.
Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, please remain in your seats for the presentation of the number one top Star Wars soundtrack moments. Carl LeClaire.
Yeah.
Please.
Hey,
what's up? There.
Please reveal your number one.
Oh, man. I didn't realize we had four guests tonight. So my number one Star Wars song, and this has a lot to do mostly with emotional connection. The only person I've heard mention it so far was Kyle. It was in his honorable mentions, but it's Yoda's theme from episode 5. I don't know what it is specifically about this song. I love Yoda. I love Dagobah, which when we did our favorite planets, that was my favorite planet. it's the perfect song for Yoda. And, you know, there's this gentle wisdom to the song. You know, I mean, we first really hear it on, you know, in The Empire Strikes Back when Yoda actually reveals himself to Luke. And, you know, it's this great song. It's very subtle, yet it hints at the incredible power in his, you know, that here's the seemingly weakling character. You know, he's tiny. He seems so frail. Yet he's one of the most powerful creatures in, you know, all the galaxy. And this song, I think, does a great job of just wrapping that up. And it's just such a pretty song. You know, again, when I hear this song, it takes me back instantly. It takes me into those scenes on Dagobah where I, too, am, you know, in that struggle that Luke is in. I wish I had Yoda there to instruct me and help me. And, you know, it automatically, whenever I hear that song, it just connects me back to all my, you know, youthful memories of Star Wars, and giving me that connection is really what I love so much about the song. It is, you know, it's certainly not a very epic song. It's not very loud. It's quite subtle. It's quite, you know, quiet. Yes, that's it. And again, sorry, I was just taken aback. But yeah, to me, that is the greatest song in Star Wars. To me, because of, again, what it does for me emotionally, that's what it has to be when it comes down to it. You know, it was real tough picking between that and Across the Stars. But I think it has the longevity of emotional connection, which will always make it just slightly better than anything else that, you know, from Star Wars. So that's my number one, is Yoda's theme.
That's a good pick. That is a track that missed my honorable mentions by two or three slots. It made my initial cut, but I just had so much other stuff that I wanted to get in here. But that is such a... I do like how you described it. It's such a gentle wisdom is what it sounds like. And it definitely fits Yoda perfectly. And... very, very good pick. Very good piece of music.
Yeah, I would agree. And I mean, Carl, like you said, this was in my honorable mentions, probably just because I don't have as much of an emotional connection to it. But I, you know, I do love the way it represents Yoda and just the way it kind of represents, like you said, that gentle wisdom and kind of to me, it's like the light of the Force and almost like the magic of Star Wars. It's like just kind of that mysticism. And yet at the same time, it's like hopeful and uplifting. It's not like a kind of dark, scary, mystical. It's like, you know, mystical and magical, but, you know, helpful. And, you know, I think that's kind of how Yoda is. That's how the Force is. So, you know, yeah, that's, and I think the music complements it perfectly. So it's a good pick.
Any thoughts, Riley?
Yeah.
I'm listening to the Yoda's theme right now. I'm just too lost and distracted. I really loved what I believe you used the term represented his gentle wisdom, and if you didn't say that, I lay claim for it. It's just words can't describe how that theme always affects me, and that is probably one of my absolute favorites Not certainly well appreciated, I think, because I think Yoda really carries the thematic elements of The Empire Strikes Back. You have the father-son relationship that evolves, and then Yoda and how much he changes Luke as a person. That's one thing I enjoy about the original trilogy so much, is that each of the characters, especially Luke, go through such a radical transformation in every movie, where Luke starts out as an innocent farm boy and then is introduced into the world, the wide world, and sees the darkness and some of the light. And then he arrives, still a rookie, to Yoda and learns some of the wisdom and really progresses as a person, and then really comes to his full strength in Return of the Jedi. And I always really like the way that theme worked in Star Wars, and Yoda's theme is definitely right up there for me.
Awesome. Well, Kyle Avery. Yes. You're not...
No, yeah. Not. Wait, are there two of me in here?
Kyle Avery, please.
Yes, yes.
Well, the real Kyle Avery, please step forward.
Who let the Kaminoans into my house when I wasn't looking? Because I did not sign anything that said they could take my blood samples.
Will you please give us your number one Star Wars yes. music?
Now, first, I just have to say, you know, it's obviously for all of us, it's kind of hard to pick, you know, just this top seven list. I'm still not like entirely 100% sure that this is what it's going to be all the time. You know, on another day, in another mood or something, I could easily say that Duel of the Fates or Light of the Force is my favorite. But I kind of feel bad now because I feel like we've already beaten a dead horse on this one. But I picked the Throne Room from A New Hope as my number one pick, just because it's, for me, out of all the Star Wars music, it's the most uplifting and inspiring and just sort of, triumphant. I mean, I can just be, like, sitting around doing nothing and that song comes on. And, you know, I kind of have to, like, straighten up and puff my chest out a little bit. And, you know, it makes me feel good, even if I'm not really doing anything that's worth being proud of. But I think maybe part of the reason I like that one so much is just because I have a really fond memory of it. I went to Star Wars weekends at Disney World a couple years ago.
Fun.
Actually, I got to go 2 years in a row, but the first year that I went, it was like the first time I'd ever been there for Star Wars weekends. It was, you know, so cool for me being a huge Star Wars fan. Like, you're walking around and, you know, it's still Disney World, but there are like people walking around in Star Wars costumes, and you hear Star Wars music playing over the loudspeakers. And, you know, like anywhere you walk in the park, like you're hearing Yoda's theme or the Imperial March or the main title theme or whatever. And, you know, after the full day we were in there, and, you know, we got to see like behind the scenes previews of Clone Wars, and I got Peter Mayhew's autograph on a picture of Chewbacca and all this cool stuff. And then we were walking back out of the park to catch the shuttle back to our hotel, and this theme was playing on our way out of the park. And I don't even remember what I did. I think I was wearing like a hat that I bought or something, and I like took the hat off and like put it over my heart and like started marching or something. It was just one of those things that filled me up with so much like pride and joy of being a Star Wars fan that I had to like get some sort of physical manifestation of it out, because it was just like so much bottled up inside me that I had to do something with it. So yeah, that's probably part of the reason why I put this one at number one, is just that I have that great memory of it. But like you guys have said, I mean, this is something that I would love to have playing at my wedding, or, you know, even if I were to just like get a promotion at a job or something. It's one of those things that any kind of small moment in your life that, you know, makes you feel good, this like makes it times 10. You know, and it's just, for me, it's just the perfect, you know, uplifting, inspiring, and triumphant theme. So that's the one I picked for number one.
Awesome. That's a great story, by the way.
Yeah, it's interesting, because now I guess I'll jump to my number one, which is also closely tied to a story behind why I like this song. And it might be considered cheating a little bit, but my favorite track of all the Star Wars soundtracks is Revenge of the Sith soundtrack, track number 15. The end credits. 15-minute song. But here, I mean, they cover like five or six songs worth of material, but that's not why I picked it. Revisiting that story I told earlier in the episode, where the first soundtrack that I bought was split between Bethany and myself, you know, the Revenge of the Sith soundtrack, and we listened to that thing the whole way through. And having worn out the Episode 1 and original trilogy CDs of my older sister, we didn't have an Episode 2 soundtrack yet, having completely worn it out, we knew all of those old CDs and old themes, so when we were listening to that Episode 3 soundtrack for the first time, it was genuinely exhilarating when they would be familiar themes that would come on. And so, of course, track number 15 really goes to the roots of some of the best Star Wars musics. And I've been contemplating the whole time during the podcast, but really when it comes right down to it, words can't describe the sense of jubilation and at the same time a sense of somber sobriety and realizing that this was the final movement in Star Wars. And, you know, I didn't know about the Clone Wars at the time, but really it still remains that that is the final Star Wars film. And really I got a more of a sense of conclusion than I even got watching Episode 3 about a year later, listening to that soundtrack. And as I said, words can't describe the emotions that you feel when you're when we first listened to that on our CD player here at the house. And not to be speaking with too much hyperbole, but music really does have a profound effect on we as humans, and that's why we like these movie soundtracks, and that's why music is so important. And Star Wars really broke ground, realizing that people do like this emotional and moving orchestral music. They didn't want techno from the 70s, and they didn't want, you know, rock and roll to be the whole soundtrack of the film. And it really goes to the roots of some of the best music out there, whether it's Holst's The Planets or Beethoven's symphonies or you name it. All these composers that inspired John Williams really reach to the root of our human emotion. And in closing, what I'd really like to call attention to is that John Williams, who we haven't really given enough props, and he can't really be given enough props. He is indeed the man. But John Williams, he doesn't hold back. And so many composers compose to the film, to where the songs really only work well in the context of the film that they're behind. But John Williams' music truly can be appreciated as a work of art on its own. It truly does stand on its own because it's so over the top and it's so thematic. And, you know, it's right up there in the categories of Howard Shore's Lord of the Rings scores and the Adventurous Indiana Jones scores that really have themes that are in a very traditional, almost operatic style, in the way that each character has his very familiar and recognizable theme. And it's not cheesy. And while it may be over the top, it really reaches to the root of our human emotions, as I said before. So that's my favorite track, and that's why I think John Williams is indeed the man.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, totally agree with you there.
Yeah, he is the man. Even though he's, I believe, the most nominated person alive for Oscar awards, I don't think it's enough.
In the category of music, he is. And yeah, shout out, I forgot to mention, this past week was his 80th birthday. So happy birthday, John.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, happy birthday, Mr. Williams. May you live long and prosper.
Did you really just say that?
What? I just went on like 5 minute worship session of John Williams, and you had to pull the Star Trek hook.
It wasn't intentional, I swear. It just happened.
It just came.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
But the world will be a darker place when he's no longer with us. And so I look forward to he scored two films this year, The Adventures of Tintin and War Horse, both Spielberg films. And he continues to be making great music. So
they're both nominated for Oscars, by the way.
Yeah.
They are?
Yes, they both are. And so he has a double shot of winning another Oscar this year. So I've been a couple days, I think. But, you know, hopefully he wins. But anyway, I will not keep anyone else in suspense any longer. I will give my number one. And I do have a story behind this, but I'll give you the track first before the story. My number one all-time favorite Star Wars soundtrack moment, and it's been mentioned before, but I have to mention it because it is my number one, and it is Duel of the Fates. There is just, it is just such the an epic sounding piece, and the reason why I like it so much, when I think it was my 10th birthday, one of my friends gave me the Phantom Menace soundtrack. And before this time, I didn't really listen to a lot of music. I was, you know, just sort of off in my own little world as a person. And I just was like, blah, 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 you know, distracted by everything that was in my range of vision as a kid. But when he gave me this soundtrack, I was like, oh, that's nice. I guess I'll listen to it. But I was hooked. And this piece, Duel of the Fates, just hooked me into the music of Star Wars, and I finally started really paying attention to the music of Star Wars. And what started with Duel of the Fates expanded to Star Wars, expanded to Indiana Jones and Lord of the Rings, and just grew exponentially, so that over half of the music that is on my iPod is film soundtracks, classical symphonies, and things of that nature, so that it is one of the biggest, it is the soundtrack of my life at this point. This type of music is just, I have so many different playlists on my iPod that just contain simply instrumental music from films and just classical symphonies and things like that. And it all started because of Duel of the Fates, which is an epic and awesome piece in its own right, but because it spawned all of that, and makes this conversation that we're having about just music, the Star Wars music in general, so much more exciting and so much more important for me to talk about, because it is just something that is now such a big part of my life, and it's because of Duel of the Fates. So that is why it is my number one.
Good answer.
Yeah.
This has been awesome.
Yeah.
And then,
like, I'm going to listen to all six soundtracks, and I'm going to now stop interrupting. Sorry.
No, that's right. I was just going to say, you know, I can't necessarily point to Duel of the Fates as, like, the one track that kind of got me hooked on Star Wars and movie soundtracks in general. But, you know, even then, I could, like I said, it still, on any given day, depending on how I'm feeling, could be my favorite track, and, you know, of all the Star Wars movies, just because it's that great. So, yeah, I mean, that's a great pick.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, since we've all hit our number ones, I'm just going to say a few closing comments then, kind of piggybacking a bit off Riley was saying earlier before he gave his, or after his number one there. You know, I think Star Wars itself, again, this is such an integral part of its mass appeal, and it's, you know, the fact that it's still so well-loved by so many people, it is the music. You know, and George Lucas was very clear about this in lots of early interviews and since. You know, when he decided to, you know, pick someone to compose the music, he wanted somebody to give it a classical feel. You know, he didn't want to use period pieces from the 70s, thank God. You know, because, again, like, how much would that have clashed, you know, when he did the prequels? You know, he does something, you know, very intelligent by using this classical music. And I like what you mentioned too earlier, Riley. You know, he's certainly influenced by a lot of great composers. And the one I always think of is Gustav Holst and his, you know, his The Planets. That's a great piece of music, and very clearly John Williams was influenced by that in some sense. But the Star Wars music, it's another aspect of the sense, you know, you can just put in these soundtracks and you know exactly what's going on in the movie. You can visually recreate the films, but even more than that, it gives you this emotional depth that the music does for you. And, you know, that's the purpose of music to a soundtrack. But typically, when you think of a soundtrack, again, it's good insofar as it adds to the film. And that's certainly true of Star Wars, but even more so, you can, again, listen to this stuff, you know, absent of the visual effects and absent of everything going on in the dialogue, and still be so moved by the Star Wars story. You know, I think it might even be interesting to just sit down and listen to even just one of the soundtracks, you know, one of the ones, you know, the ones that is actually the full edition, and just listen to the movement of the film itself without any of the dialogue and without any of, you know, the visuals, and just you know, the music will allow you to feel, especially since it's instrumental music too. You know, there's nothing but emotion, that, and that's the point of music. It's meant to draw on our emotions, and Star Wars, you know, it connects to us emotionally, you know, for so many reasons, and I think the music is one of the biggest reasons. And again, yeah, like you said, John Williams is a genius. He allows us to tap into these emotional aspects of ourselves. And, you know, again, when we hear these songs, you know, we think of a scene, and that scene makes us click. I mean, it's just this snowball effect of helping us understand ourselves. I mean, that's what I love about this music. You know, again, this top 7, this top 10, whatever, the top music of Star Wars, you know, will probably fluctuate depending on where I'm at in life, mm-hmm. what kind of mood I'm in, all mm-hmm. of that. But the thing is the Star Wars music has things to kind of, you know, speak to so many different moods and so many different emotions, and that's what I love about it. It's so versatile.
Yeah. Well, and I can't believe I've not mentioned it before now, but the first public kind of Star Wars-y event that I ever went to was in the fall of 2009. Well, I should say, with the exception of AdventureCon, I forgot to mention. But yeah, the first thing I went to was an Atlanta Symphony Orchestra outdoor performance of all of the movements of Gustav Holst's The Planet, and then a selection of popular Star Wars songs. And that's really what first opened my eyes to a lot of the original inspiration behind John Williams' music. And that was a great experience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I can't believe I forgot to mention this either. What a fool I am. But Star Wars in concert was one of the coolest things I have ever seen.
Yes.
Yeah, that was great.
I missed it!
It'll have to come around again eventually.
Yeah.
There's so much demand for it.
Yeah, I just can't believe, I hope to goodness they do it at they didn't do it at Celebration 5. Just bring one special event to Celebration 6. I'll go.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, oh man, I loved that event. You know, it was so funny too. My favorite rock band, if you want to call them a rock band, my favorite band had a concert that very same week. So I went to their concert, and then 4 nights later, I was at Star Wars in concert. I was like in this musical high all week. I mean, it was amazing. And you know, that was such a cool event, because again, they do use the visuals and some of the dialogue to some extent, but. You know, again, it was so cool hearing that music live and in person, because, you know, and I think that's true of any type of concert you go to. You get, especially in a crowd, you know, you connect to this stuff together. Star Wars in concert was one of the coolest events I've ever been to. And I can't think of too many films where I would go to an event just to showcase the soundtracks. I mean, lots of John Williams ones I would, but a lot of other films, it's like, nah, probably not.
Yeah.
But even the fact that they almost sold out the Garden in Boston for a Star Wars musical event. It was just so cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'll go ahead and give my final closing comments, since that seems to be what we're doing, and then get out of your guys' hair. But, one thing I've really enjoyed this episode, and really like to thank you guys for having me on. The year 2012 for me is going to really be a year of revisiting Star Wars, re-watching the movies, going back to the source of what I love, and not getting as involved with some of sometimes the drama or just the focus of the fan community, where I can kind of lose myself and forget about why it is I enjoy talking about this stuff and focusing on it and discussing it with friends, why I enjoy it so much. And so that's one thing that you guys here at the Wampas Lair do a fantastic job, where you just talk about the source, talk about what you guys love and what inspires you each week here at the Wampas Lair. So I always enjoy listening to you guys, and definitely keep up the great work. And hey, with the Phantom Menace screening, and then this year is the 10th anniversary of Attack of the Clones. It's hard to believe. But then next year, it sounds like we might be doing an Attack of the Clones 3D screening. I'll tell you guys what, we're probably in the very early stages, and that this just popped into my mind about 20 minutes ago. But I would love to do something that we've done before on Star Wars Day, and that is on the 10th anniversary day of the release of Attack of the Clones, I would love to do a live commentary with as many of the Star Wars Report podcasters as we can get.
That would be fun.
If we do that, you guys are more than welcome. And we'll try to set up a video shot of the studio and put up the high-def screen in the background and do a live commentary.
Ooh, that'd be so cool.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Let's see if we can make it happen. Yeah. But yeah, thanks again for having me on.
It's our pleasure.
Awesome. Kyle, any closing thoughts?
not really anything you guys haven't said already. I mean, yeah, just, you know, I'm glad you guys could bring me in for this. Thanks for the invite. You know, I'm always glad to talk Star Wars, but the music in particular is, you know, like we've all said already, it's something emotional and just something really special and unique about it. So, and it's something that I don't think I've ever had really this in-depth of a discussion about before. You know, so when it was like, oh, everybody pick out their top seven list, it was like, oh, cool, I actually get to like go in and think about this because I kind of have some favorite tracks, but I've never really thought about in depth this much about like, you know, what exactly are my favorite ones and what do I like about them and stuff. So it was, you know, cool to think about it and then discuss it with you guys and, you know, get some different perspectives on what you guys like and just what makes the music of Star Wars great. So yeah, I've had a great time on here.
Yeah. And before you guys let me go, I almost forgot to say one last thing. While we were talking, before we even hang up, I have already put together a layered mashup of Augie's Municipal Band and Glee's version of Don't Stop Believin'.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, dear.
Jason, I know you've got the editing powers. I just dropped that to you. I'm about to drop that to you in the Skype chat. You can put that on the end credits if you so choose, if you'd like.
Oh, man. All right.
It's Gungan voices singing it.
I will give it a listen and see what works tonight. Oh, dear. What have I done?
You're fulfilling your destiny, Jason.
Oh, dear. If that's my destiny, I want a new one. but I'll give my closing thoughts here. This is, I titled this this podcast Endlessly Compelling because that is what John Williams used to describe the Star Wars music. And it is endlessly compelling because it's something that's never going to die. It's never going to go out of style. It's a timeless sound and a timeless emotion that the music just brings. And, you know, hundreds of years from now, you know, I would love to just transport ahead in the future, hundreds of years from now, and see how popular this music still is. Because I would be shocked, utterly shocked, if the Imperial March is still not played at sporting events hundreds of years from now. But it is just one of those timeless sounds, timeless things that you can just get lost in. And is just, like Mr. Williams himself said, endlessly compelling. So, but I think we've discussed that in an extremely long amount of time. But before we leave, we do want to introduce to everybody our lightsaber matchup of the week that we will give everyone's thoughts and our thoughts on next episode. And Carl, you want to get that off for us?
Yeah. So for our next lightsaber matchup, so it seems like we had 2 weeks in a row here now where we've had some unanimous votes. I mean, we had unanimous Yoda this week and unanimous Luke Skywalker the previous show. But our next fight, we're hoping be a little bit more tough for you to decide and something fun. And this is obviously in light of the return of Darth Maul, but we are going to pit Darth Maul against Ahsoka Tano. So who do you think would win between Darth Maul and Ahsoka? So be sure to give us your thoughts, you know, whether it's on email, Facebook, Twitter, Telegram, Telegraph, Railroad, Letter, telecommunication, whatever you got to do, let us know.
Pigeon.
Okay. Now I have to ask, were you serious about the whole split vote thing?
We're not supposed to be.
I'm just curious. To me, it seems like that would be an easy pick for Darth Maul, but I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah.
See, we'll see what everybody else
thinks. We'll see what people say, yeah. So, yeah. Okay, great. Crap. Maybe it's not as good a split as we wanted. Dang it, Kyle.
Well, that's one man's opinion.
Yeah.
I would love to see the fan community prove me wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see what happens, and that's the idea.
Who knows? Maybe Dave Filoni will prove me wrong, you know.
Right.
Maybe we will see this matchup.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we talk to him. Who knows? Well, I'm lying. So, anywho, but yeah, that's it for us. So, before we go, Kyle, how can people get in touch with you?
I guess the best way for people to get in touch with me would just be send me a message in the Facebook group for the Frontlines of Clone Wars podcast. I'm an admin of that group, so just post a message in there in our Facebook group, and I'll get it.
Sounds good. And how about you, Riley?
There's a little website called StarWarsReport.com, and that's the best place where you're going to find everything that I do, whether it be guest spots on some of the other fine podcasts, The Wampa's Lair, Star Wars Beyond the Films, and, of course, the weekly show, the Star Wars Report, will be returning to our regular weekly format this coming Thursday with an interview live with Anna Graves, voice of Satine, and, of course, the bounty hunter Sugi, this coming Thursday at 8 p.m., Eastern. Everybody go follow our Facebook and Twitter, and that's the best way that you'll figure out how to listen to that live. We'll be taking questions from the chat, from Facebook, all that kind of fun stuff. This is going to be fun. This is one of the first interviews we've done live on radio in a while, so that's going to be fun.
Cool.
Awesome. Yes, so be sure to check that out. And remember, we are underlings of the Star Wars Report.
So, no. Let me cut you off right there, Carl, and just say that you guys are independent and very creative people, and we are honored that you guys are willing to host this fine show on the Star Wars Report website. And we'd really appreciate all the fine content you guys provide for us.
We do our best, Riley. We do our best.
Yes. Yes.
But for those of you looking to get in touch with us again, you can email us at WampasLairPodcast. That's Wampas with an S, Wampa's Lair Podcast at gmail.com. Certainly you can find us on Facebook under Wampa's Lair, and we are on Twitter at Wampa's Lair as well, right?
Yes.
Good, thank you.
I was just tweeting you.
Yeah, there's...
I tweeted out there needs to be a Star Wars Glee mashup.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
And now it has happened.
So, again, we are now at 49 likes on Facebook. We really would love just one more. Please get us to 50. and if you haven't followed us yet on Twitter, please do so. This isn't desperate pleading, but it is desperate. We appreciate all the interaction we get so far. And on my part, at least, Kyle and Riley, both of you, thank you so much for joining us tonight. You guys brought so much to it, which is great because Jason and I have a lot of fun together, but it's always great to have extra people to bounce off Star Wars ideas with. It's always fun, especially when you do lists, too, because you're not just going back forth. You know, you can get a little bit more discussion. So you guys have been such a delight, and it's been great having both of you. So thank you very much.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
So. Yes, thank you. Anytime.
Awesome.
Keep that in mind. So, Jason, if you would do the honors.
All right, the honors are all mine. Well, once again, thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Wampa's Lair Podcast, Episode 11, Endlessly Compelling, Top 7 Star Wars Soundtrack Moments. Once again, we want to thank Kyle and Riley, and for Kyle, Riley, and Mr. Carl Leclerc, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time in the Wampa's Lair.
Just a small town girl, living in a lonely